KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have a partly cloudy sky. It's 2 degrees above zero. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy here today with a high of 26. Winds southeast at 10 to 20 miles per hour, giving us a wind chill at times of as low as 10 degrees below zero. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The National Weather Service this morning said they're still tracking two winter systems to impact Iowa through Tuesday. The first one still to bring light snow to much of Iowa late tonight through Sunday. Some light freezing drizzle may mix with the snow as precipitation ends late on Sunday. A stronger winter storm system is then slated to impact Iowa Monday into Tuesday. Precipitation is expected to spread across the state on Monday as a light wintry mix, and then change to snow Monday evening and continue into Tuesday. Moderate to heavy accumulations of snow are more likely across the northern half of the state. Uncertainty is still high with the snow amounts given uncertainty in the track and strength of the system. Northwest winds will increase across the state on Tuesday and be strong and gusty throughout the day into Tuesday evening, and that'll allow for blowing and drifting of snow. And as a result, travel may become difficult across the state Tuesday with snow-packed roads and increased reduced visibility is possible. So keep it tuned to KJAN as the weather picture becomes more clear. New forecasts predict a rising risk for flooding across western Iowa in the weeks and months ahead. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers reports it has moved all excess water out of the Missouri River reservoirs to prepare for this year's runoff. Hydrologist Kevin Lowe with the Missouri Basin River Forecast Center of the National Weather Service says mountain snowpack is on track.
Snowpack conditions in the mountains can be generally described as about normal for this time of year. By this point, we've normally accumulated about 60%, a little more maybe, of the seasonal peak snow water equivalent in the mountains. And so we still have plenty of accumulating season left, and much could change.
Given the snowfall so far and based on previous decades of record keeping, Lowe says a runoff forecast is being released.
The February water supply forecast developed by the National Weather Service projects a slightly below average runoff volume for the 2018 season.
In spite of that, he says there will probably be some flooding on tributaries of the Missouri River this spring.
Areas likely to experience tributary flooding include eastern South Dakota, western Iowa, eastern Nebraska, and eastern Kansas, and across the state of Missouri. And the wet soils have enhanced the chances for flooding in these areas for this spring.
The first flood forecast of the season will be released later this month. Elsewhere in the news, former Cass County attorney who was appointed by Governor Kim Reynolds as 4th District Judge for Cass and 8 other areas in January was sworn in Friday afternoon at the Cass County Courthouse. Iowa Supreme Court Justice Susan Christensen from Harlan administered the oath of office to Michael Hooper in a ceremony held in the courtroom of the courthouse. His appointment and swearing in marks the first time in recent years that a district judge will have an office at the courthouse. Judge Hooper received his undergraduate degree from the University of Nebraska at Omaha and his law degree from Creighton University Law School. The Cass County Board of Supervisors, you may recall, on February 1st, appointed Vanessa Strazdas, a private practice attorney from Omaha, to fill Hooper's vacated Cass County attorney seat. Strazdas, a member of the Iowa Bar, is a National Merit Scholar with a degree in computer science from the University of Nebraska at Omaha. She graduated with honors from the Creighton Law School, where she concentrated her studies in litigation and criminal law. A man is being held in the Cass County Jail was arrested last week on 2 Guthrie County felony charges. The Guthrie County Sheriff's Office's Matthew Ross of Marney was transported to February 3rd to Guthrie County, where he appeared before a magistrate with regard to 2 counts of sex abuse in the third degree, both Class B felonies. After making his appearance before the judge, Ross was released on his own recognizance. The case was investigated by the Stewart Police Department. On February 1st, Jerome Boblett of Coon Rapids was arrested on a charge of possession of drug paraphernalia. He was taken into custody following a traffic stop east of Bagley. Additional charges against Boblett are pending. The Guthrie County canine was utilized in the traffic stop. On February 2nd, Peyton Wilms of Guthrie Center was stopped for a traffic violation. Wilms was then cited and released on an OWI first offense charge. On February 4th, Joseph Reynolds of Stewart turned himself into the Guthrie County Jail to serve a 3-day minimus. His initial charges were weapons and drug-related. And on February 8th, Mark Doyle of DeSoto turned himself into the Guthrie County Jail to serve 2 days of his 7-day minimus. His initial charge was operating while intoxicated, second offense. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reports 27-year-old Dylan Michael Frazier of Malvern was arrested Tuesday in Malvern. Authorities said yesterday that Frazier faces charges that include possession of a controlled substance, child endangerment, and possession of drug paraphernalia. His bond was set at $3,300. On Wednesday, Mills County deputies arrested 33-year-old Michael Paul DeLuc, or rather LeDuc, of Mineola for being a fugitive from justice. LaDuc was being held in the Mills County Jail without bond. And on Thursday, 24-year-old Daniel Cortez Curiel of Haywarden was arrested on a warrant for probation violation. He was taken into custody in Douglas County, Nebraska, and held in the Mills County Jail on a $5,000 bond. The cause of a fire that reportedly occurred in the attic of a home northwest of Brayton is being investigated. Firefighters from Brayton responded to 3144 Goldfinch Place a little after 8 a.m. Friday. Mutual aid was requested from the Exira and Atlantic fire departments. No injuries were reported. The Audubon County Sheriff's Office assisted at the scene. The homeowner has told KJAN News on our social media page that her home was declared a total loss. And Southwest Iowa Planning Council, or SWPCO, which operates the Southwest Iowa Transit Agency, has completed the purchase of a 10,000-square-foot vehicle staging and storage facility at 3236 Nebraska Avenue in Council Bluffs. The new facility has indoor parking space for 15 transit buses, a vehicle maintenance area, office space, training rooms, and driver waiting and storage space. There's also a large fenced exterior parking area that will be able to accommodate vehicles not in active use. SWTA is headquartered in Atlantic and provides public transit services throughout an 8-county region in southwest Iowa, including Council Bluffs and Pott County. It also operates the special transit service for the city of Council Bluffs, which is the city's paratransit service. SWTA operates a fleet of over 100 vehicles, and approximately 20 of those and 21 drivers are currently based in and around Council Bluffs. All of the Council Bluffs vehicles are currently stored outside at various locations. In 2018, over 100,000 public transit rides were provided by SWTA in Pottawatomie County and an additional 250,000 throughout the rest of the region. SWPCO Executive Director John McCurdy said that we have an excellent facility in Atlantic, which is our main administrative and maintenance hub, but we've been reviewing properties in the Council Bluffs area for over 2 years. The Nebraska Avenue location, he said, meets all of our needs with a near turnkey solution that will be a great satellite location to our Atlantic base. The Council Bluffs facility, by the way, is currently undergoing a few necessary upgrades, and the vehicles will be staging out of it within the next few weeks. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN, Juanita Klaus, age 88, of Messina, died Tuesday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Juanita Klaus will be today at 10:30 at the Messina United Methodist Church with a luncheon to follow. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has the arrangements. Rosemary Hahn, age 88, of Erling, died February 1st. A massive Christian burial for Rosemary Hahn will be today at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Donald Staver, age 87, of Panora, died February 1st. Memorial services for Donald Staver will be today at 11 a.m. at the St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has the arrangements. Paul Shepard, age 53, of Adel and formerly of Atlantic, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Paul Shepard will be today at 11:30 at the Ernst Funeral Home in Waukee. Grace Lindemann Rathkamp, age 94, of Kansas City, Missouri, and formerly of Griswold, died February 1st. Funeral services for Grace Rathkamp will be held today at 11:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Merlin Bill Brew, age 89, of Harlan, died Tuesday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. Memorial services for Bill Brew will be today at 1 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Irwin. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Ethel Rasmussen, age 96, of Audubon, died Wednesday at the Friendship Home. Funeral services for Ethel Rasmussen will be this afternoon at 1 o'clock at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon, with Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of arrangements. Shirley Law, age 87, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Shirley Law will be today at 3 o'clock at Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Ann Williams, age 84, of Atlantic, died Wednesday in West Des Moines. Funeral services for Ann Williams will be on Sunday at 1 o'clock at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Brian Barney Beyer, age 61, of Audubon, died January 17th. A Celebration of Life memorial service for Barney Beyer will be held on Sunday from 1 until 4 p.m. at St. Patrick's Parish Center in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Charles Turner, age 89, of Redfield, died January 27th. A visitation for Charles Turner will be on Sunday from 2 until 5 at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Ralph Shriver, age 91, of Oakland, a lifelong Pottawatomie County resident, died Wednesday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Ralph Shriver will be on Monday at 10 a.m. at the Lus Hills Funeral Home in Carson. Jane Clara Getzinger, age 73, of Westphalia, died Thursday at Mertu Medical Center in Harlan. A massive Christian burial for Jane Getzinger will be held Monday at 10:30 at the St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And Marjorie Hansen, age 85, of Elkhorn, died Monday at the Salem Lutheran Home. A celebration of life service for Marjorie Hansen will be held this Monday at 11 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has the arrangements. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.